Are you looking for a podcast that is the perfect blend of paranormal and pop culture?
Starting off with spooky stuff where we talk cryptids and ghosts.
And then we have our pop culture section where we sometimes have celebrity guests.
Whoa.
Yeah, do you want more?
Boy, howdy.
There's always genre news and all kinds of celebrity deaths. All kinds of it. If you're a celebrity and you die, we're going to talk about it.
I actually was hoping for UFOs.
Well, bet your ass we got that too at the end.
Earthling Entertainment. New episodes every Thursday.
Make sure to check us out anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hello, foundlings, and welcome back to A Tale of Remembrance. I am Quentin, your GM, and I am joined by my lovely player, the one, the only.
Me.
Me. Well done, me.
Hello, it is me, Emily, also known as Snow, also known as Aurora, also known as Odette, but today I am playing Aurora, not Snow or Odette, accompanied by my cute wolf, discovered now to be known as Nachia. Aurora does not like the name. She thinks she was stupid for naming him that, but, you know, that's how life is.
Indeed. Aurora found out a number of things about herself last time on A Tale of Remembrance. She found yet another lead for what she thought she was seeking for. Her past, to be more precise. But as she inched ever closer, she received a very cryptic warning from her now less than anonymous benefactor, the goddess of death, Alani. Unsure if what she set out for is something she truly wants, Aurora has left that question for another day. Will Aurora choose to embrace her past, or will she blaze ahead, leading a new life? Find out this week on A Tale of Remembrance, as we start with Aurora and Kilsen, the individual you just met, currently convening in the forest.
Oh, we're in the forest. Well,
That is where you last left off.
It is where we last left off, GM?
Yes, it is, if you recall. You did mention that you wished to curse Faltire, though the individual Kilsen, who you just met, who seems to have known you from before your loss of memories, wishes to likewise get revenge on the individual you despise, Draken.
Yeah. And he wants to speed things along, you know, take care of Faltire so he can go do the other thing.
Yeah. He wants to get rid of Faltire as quick as possible.
Okay, all right.
Or handle this matter.
All right.
He seems very confident in your capability of doing so.
So, we're standing in a forest.
I mean, do you just want to walk into the Jarl's Hall?
Is that an option? If it is, I would love to do it.
You could just storm the front door, knock over the guards, walk past the, like, dozen armed Vikings, try and breeze past his two witches, and then just, like, slap him in the face with a curse if you really wanted to.
She's looking him up and down. And you think you can do all of that?
Minus the slapping him in the face with a curse.
Fascinating. She walks up a little bit closer to him and begins to examine his features, just looking him up and down.
He seems straight-faced, serious, not displaying any form of hesitation. You get closer to his stoic features, and you notice he has long brown hair and green eyes, which seem to resonate with the amulet around his neck.
You're quite an interesting fellow. Well, before any of that, there are a few things that I need to obtain from the market.
What exactly do you need to get done in the market?
I just need a few things to make this work to my advantage. I've learned that my spells require some items.
You know, I always hate spellcasting components and such. Do you know exactly what you need? If you pull up your menu options, you should be able to see the spells under the slots. And then, don't ask me why I know this, but once you go under your spell slots in your spells list, it'll tell you the components and if you meet the requirements and how off you are by.
She's looking at him, incredulous and also as if he were insane. Menu. Options.
Yes.
All right.
No. Menu? Sorry, Aurora?
He seems very dissatisfied by calling you by any alternate name.
Menu?
You know what? I'm just going to go in through that way and points in the direction of where the entrance she thinks is.
He moves your hand slightly to the right.
I'll know it when I see it. Don't worry.
If you went the direction you were pointing, you would have ended up walking through the forest for 3 days before you reached the coastline.
I know exactly where I'm going.
The front gate, which is why I adjusted your trajectory.
I was testing you.
Before you go any further, you might want to discuss your plans with Hjold. He's not going to be a big fan of you going after Faltire. It's going to draw a lot of attention to him and his party members.
She looks around, remembering that he said something about giving them their space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is he anywhere nearby?
Yeah. He's a good 30 yards away.
30 yards?
He's sitting on his stump, kind of just like rocking, bobbing his head.
She offers a half-hearted and doubtful smile, like, one moment, please. And she starts walking towards him.
And your wolf, who you've been informed, prefers to be referred to as Nachia, kind of saunters on after you.
Hjold.
Yes.
Thank you for waiting. I really appreciate it.
Are you finally going to be talking about things that make sense to me? Or concern me?
Very much concern you. Remember how you asked me to not do a thing?
Oh, you meant concern me.
That would be the one, yes.
Oh, Aurora, what is it that you're doing now?
Well, you see, I made a deal with the elder woman that gave me this gown.
Please tell me you didn't make a deal with Gudni.
Well, it wasn't my intention to make a deal in that way, but things turned out the way they are. And she did give me quite a powerful item in her own ignorance. So I sort of owe it to her. Also, she gave me this. Very suspiciously looks like it would be a curse. And unfortunately, while I do possess magical arts, I'm not sure that I would be able to remove them. All right, let me put it this way before you get yourself all upset and worked up. It's just to cause Faltire some indigestion. No one dies. They just feel sick for a very long time.
It would probably be better if you killed him. Agitating him was a fate worse than death.
Now, see, I don't know if that works very well with the agreement that I made to make him suffer.
If he knows it's you, he will hunt you down to the edge of the earth. And anyone who associates with you, which would involve me and all of my associates who you've been staying with.
She looks a little thoughtful. I do see the problem with that. Well,
however, we are already making enemies of the Arl. Then, at the very least, we might as well make it worth our while. My companions are short the supplies we need. However, locked away in his longhouse, Valtieri has enough supplies for the entire encampment for months. Meaning, if we were to sneak in, grab supplies, curse him, and then row off into the sunset, we might at least be able to get far enough away before he figures out who it was. And hopefully go in a direction which he doesn't know to be looking for us.
Ah, I see. Well, I would be happy to be a distraction for you. I know that your people are struggling to be able to leave the area. And I know it's not much. But I do like you, Hjold. You're a very interesting fellow, and I would love to keep you as part of my retinue for future purposes.
Once we part, I must say it will probably be hard for us to be in any form of communication. For if you know where I am and Faltire knows where you are, it will leave a string of connections. If we are to do this, you may find it that we may not be speaking with one another anytime in the near future or in this life.
Knees, Blair. There's no problem with the next life. I know where to find you at the very least. It's a worst case scenario. Talk to Alani, you know, the usual. All right. Well, why don't you go and talk with your people. I have a few things I need to do in the market anyway. And perhaps we can have a signal, so that you're not having to associate with me too much. Or rather, you can just speak with Kelson, since his association with me is very limited so far.
Hjold kind of gestures with his eyes, looking over your shoulder. And as you turn to follow his gaze, you notice that Kelson is but, like, a few dozen feet away from you, kind of just watching you from a distance, very eagerly.
Rora, I don't think you'll be shaking that one nearly as easily as you think you may.
Drat.
I will speak with my constituents. If you are to do anything, it'd be best to do it at the cover of darkness. Before you enter the hall, in order to cause a distraction, light a torch, toss it in the fire. See if you can find any copper dust. With the torch, throw it in the fire. It'll light a green fume. That will signal us that you are about to enter. And after we hear a loud enough ruckus and we're in position, that is when we will make our entrance. In the peak of your distraction.
Very well, Hjold. It was good to be with you for such a short time. I appreciate everything you've done. And she gives him, like... She walks over and just gives him a bit of a hug, if he allows it.
He doesn't stop you.
Okay. It's like nice... It's a nice hug.
He gently, in his own way, reciprocates, patting your back with one hand.
She would then stand up. Wolf... Nutshia. No, stop. No. No,
he
stop.
Seems pleased by this.
Stop.
You can sense the emotional link.
Oh, no, stop. It's too much. I can't with this. All right. King. We can deal with King for now.
He seems less pleased, but tolerates it more than Wolf.
At least you respond to it. All right. You'll need to stay out here for the time being. I will call for you when I need you.
Yes, Master. But call for me. By my name.
I will call for you however I please. She looks at the wolf.
And he glares back. And he seems indignant, as if to say, if you do not acquiesce his request, he may not come.
Be a good familiar.
Be a good boy now. Be a good 300-pound doggo.
That's a huge doggo. Only 300? A horse could be weight really heavy, too. If he's, like, mount-sized.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that's a discussion for another day. We'll figure out how much... In the next episode, we will determine how much Nachio weighs on Talks of Remembrance. Oh, that's actually a good idea. I'm a genius. All right, so Aurora would then turn in the direction of the gate that she was indicated she needed to go to. And attempt to head back inside.
As you begin walking towards the gate, there's an individual who steps out from one of the guard posts and holds up a hand, declaring to you, "Halt! Who goes there?"
Is it the same guy from earlier?
No, you're at a different gate. Different guy.
Dang it. You said, "Who goes there?"
Yeah.
At this point, it's been a few times. Really, anytime she's given the name Aurora, it's gotten her into trouble, so she's going to use an alias. Named Alien? No, I'm kidding.
Elias.
She's just looking around, and then she kind of looks down at the ring that she has on her hand, and, like, thought process, Signet. And then she's like, Signe.
Signe? Haven't seen you around these parts. What's your business here?
Well, I'm going to be relatively new in town. I'm just here to learn more of the mystic arts from the great Hugin and Munin.
Oh, I was curious how you found this place, but clearly the legend of Hugin and Munin has spread wide.
Yes.
Do you have someone to vouch for you?
All right, that's it. They're going into the spells.
Nikolas, stand down. I vouch. Oh, Kelson. I didn't know you were here.
Yeah. Just let us through.
You can kind of see her hand is in this sort of pose, like she was about to do something.
Your hand's resting on your spell component pouch, and Kelson kind of sees that you're gesturing towards it and puts his hand on yours, kind of grabbing it gently, embracing it, and then kind of steps in front of you, between you and Nikolas, as Kelson addressed.
Very well. Sorry to stop you. Go on ahead.
Thank you. And she'll sort of yank her hand away and try and, like, brush past both men.
Fair enough.
And she walks towards the market, because at least that's somewhat familiar since it's a small area.
Yeah. You begin walking down the main street and heading straight towards the coastline, as you remembered that the main marketplace was hugging along the peninsula, which is in the Shaolin Cove. Walking your way down and through this entrance, you once again pass the large 30-foot-tall totem of the owl and the two tents on either side of it.
I would like to go and find Demaria.
Yeah. Making your way through the marketplace, you are able to locate this individual with ease, as they are still in the same exact location, peddling the same exact wares right at their stand.
Welcome, welcome. Come one, come all.
She literally walks up, takes the ring off that she received from Prescott.
All right, Prescott, you're going to show me how useful this is right now. How much will you give me for this?
Ooh, straightforward. To the point. Very fun. Let me see. Certainly magical, mystical, very fun, ornate in nature, nice gold band, pretty jewel, nice gemstone, very good. I will give you 7,500, no more, no less.
Appraise, please?
Sure, you can roll an appraise check.
11.
You are staring at this ornate piece of jewelry, knowing its mystical properties and magical components, but you are unsure what this would go for on an open market, especially one of this size, though you do know for her to carry very expensive wares. 7,000 is a lot of money for you, and you would be able to buy a number of things from her shop.
She wants to try and squeeze a little bit more out. She would like to try and haggle.
Come now, 7,500. Surely you realize this ring must be worth far more than that. I received it from a noble.
Where it came from is none of my concern.
Please roll, what would it be, diplomacy? What do you
It
roll?
Is diplomacy versus their appraise, I believe.
Okay. So let me know what your diplomacy check ends up being.
So I rolled a 17, the total is 23.
Where it came from is none of my concern. However, fine. I still have to make a living, you know, too. 9,000, no more.
Very well, then. I shall take your deal.
And have you need of any of my wares, or shall you prefer the coin?
I warn you, 9,000 gold is quite heavy.
I might be in need of some components for my mystical arts, some spells that I would like to cast. Do you carry components?
Do I carry that which pertains to the mystical arts? Don't tell the Vikings. They're very superstitious. Come, come.
And she kind of gestures to a small tent behind her stand.
All right. She sort of turns. Is Kelson right behind her?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you see his absolutely massive black stallion is immediately behind him. They're taking up so much space in the market, and everyone's giving them a wide berth around you.
All right, do you have to be this close to me?
Have to? Technically speaking, no. Am I going to let you out of my sight after what happened? Absolutely not.
Please, I'm begging you, give me some space. I really don't know you well, and you're crowding me.
You're fine to walk into the tent.
She'll go into the tent, staring at him while she begins to walk in after Demaria.
He does not seem to exchange your disdainful gaze, but he does seem to be keeping a very careful watch on you. But it seems to be one more of gentleness and concern.
She walks in and turns her attention back towards Demaria.
Demaria pushes through the tent flap and aside some beads which are hung by the entrance, and you see that this tent is actually fixated on a wooden platform with a rug. There are a couple of tables and one stool and a full-length mirror in the one corner. And she walks over to one of these small tables and begins fiddling through some drawers.
So, what are we looking for? Looking to protect yourself or deal some damage?
Harming people is my specialty. Protecting them, not so much.
Protect yourself. Kill the others.
She smiles a toothy smile at her.
Yes, quite so.
So, What is it you need? Do you have a list?
Of course. I need several feathers of any type of bird. I just haven't had time to gather them. I know I could, but listen, the piddly things still take time.
Let me see. And she begins fumbling through the various drawers. No. Until eventually she walks down around, and you see underneath another stand there is a curtain which she pushes aside, and you see a small birdcage, which she plucks, and you hear a squawk, and produces 5 feathers for you. Anything of actual value? Something I can sell?
Absolutely. She begins to concentrate and focus on what she knows of her spells that are in her mind. And she kind of has to, like, convene with the wolf, technically, at a distance.
Wolf. King. Nadria.
Yes.
What do we need?
Through the emotional link, he does not respond in words, but instead you get flashes of images of various objects. Though some of them are somewhat cryptic, you see a black ground, almost fine powder.
Some sort of water in a vial. Looks like some sort of priest is blessing it. Some crystal. A glass sphere. A pinch of wool. Copper.
I have various metal powders. Copper is quite a useful one. I can give you a small pouch.
That will do.
Though relatively inexpensive, it will only be 1 silver.
And she hands you a small pouch.
Now, regarding the water, have you looked around? These people aren't exactly the most pious. Finding blessed water is...
It doesn't have to be a good priest. Apparently it can also be somebody who's quite evil.
And she produces from a small chest. You see numerous vials in there. She kind of dances her fingers atop the corks until she eventually taps one and gently raises it. And you see this black-tinted vial. And the water almost seems not fully translucent. It almost has texture to it.
Finding someone to curse water can be a little taxing. I'll have to charge you 30 gold. But, again, as I'm giving you 9,000, I'll just deduct it from what I give.
That is well with me. But yes, I do need black powder.
Can you be more specific? There are numerous types of powder. Are we talking charcoal dust?
I'm not exactly sure. I believe this one is of value.
Gemstones?
Possibly a gemstone. Black in color.
Let me see. I also do have this...
I'm sensing the sea.
And as you're struggling to think of these components that you need, you actually begin noticing something in the bottom left-hand corner of your vision. And no matter which way you turn or look around, it seems to always stay just barely in the corner of your view.
What are these floaters?
It's like, and you see, it's almost like a little red dot on top of a gray circle.
What is that? She kind of swats at it.
And you hear this audible sound and something pops up in front of your vision. It's somewhat translucent, as you can kind of still see, but it's like something is crowding your entire mind's eye. And you just hear a...
Oh, she screams. I just rolled a will save. She totally screams.
Dear child, what is it? Is there a problem with my goods or services?
I believe I'm possessed.
I can maybe help with this as well. Do you need someone to remove a curse?
I don't know. I've never had this happen before.
And you begin to see, it's almost like a sign in front of your vision that you can't shake no matter which way you look. It almost seems to follow you. There are all these various words on it, like character, items, inventory, stats, spells. And there does seem to be a red dot over the spells section. Actually, there's red dots almost over all of these tabs.
Dear Alani. No, maybe.
Yeah.
Dear Alani, what is going on?
And you do faintly hear her voice.
I warned you.
You do hear furious footsteps stomping towards the tent as the flap bursts open. Even Demaria screams.
Oh!
What is it? What's going on? I heard someone scream. Besides you just now. I'm talking about her.
Oh, don't worry about it. It was a...
She said she was possessed.
What? Also, the witch's curse. Demaria, can you remove this?
I don't know. I don't sense any hostile negative energy. Well, there does seem something off. Something illusory.
I'm fine. If you're sensing anything, it's probably from this dress. Nothing to be alarmed about.
No. Not the dress. I sense... very wonderful. By the way, love the get-up. But I'm talking about something not on your body, but rather tied to your soul.
Yes. She looks around a bit nervously. About that crushed black powder. Can you get it for me or not?
I don't know what you're looking for, to be honest.
So no, I told you, just look at your spell list. The menu is still in front of you, and it is making it very hard to see, and you're kind of getting just the silhouettes and vague outline of the people who are talking to you.
What is... Just go away.
And she's just waving her hands in front of her face, just in front of her.
You're in my tent. I'm not going to leave my property.
You open multiple different sub-menus, and you just keep hearing...
Why is there so much noise? There's too much going on. I cannot do this. I need air. Air. Air would be good. That's usually what you do when you are possessed by something, right? All right, outside.
And you kind of push past Kilsen as he's kind of looking at you quizzically and opens the tent flap for you. You barge past, kind of stumbling into Demaria's stand, and eventually coming in contact with a very solid thud as you've walked into a steed.
She looks up.
You do instinctually feel yourself responding.
Out of the way, Angus. I have no time for you.
Snow, is everything all right? What do you mean you're possessed?
Just stop. That is not my name.
Fine. Aurora, what do you mean you're possessed? What was this that she said was clouding your soul?
I don't know what she's talking about.
What's bothering you? Why'd you storm out in such a hurry?
There's just so much in front of me, and I can't... What? I can't see past it. I don't know what to do.
I mean, Angus wasn't in front of you until you walked outside. What are you... Can you be a little bit more descriptive? Maybe I can help if you give me more information.
The sky is very colorful.
Yes?
And there's just so much noise. All this pinging and ringing and...
Pinging? What does it sound like?
A doodle-loo-loo.
Doodle-loo?
Something like that, yes.
Speaking with leshies?
I don't know. And there's just too much going on. I have far too much to do, and this is all just in my way. How do I see?
With your eyes?
I'm trying.
What's... Is something obstructing your vision? Is it a curse?
Yes. I'm assuming it is. It has to be.
What does it look like? Can you see at all? Are you blind?
Like rectangles.
Wait, rectangle.
Lots of red dots everywhere. Just this pinging sound.
I mean, are you getting pop-up notifications?
What? I don't know what that is.
Well, I mean, if you opened your menu due to notifications, sometimes it'll alert you if something's changed. You know, like a level up, lack of spell requirements, if your armor's broken.
How do I get rid of it?
I mean, did you try hitting the X button? The big red X in the top right-hand corner? Sometimes if there's a pop-up, that'll show up. If not, you can also go into the bottom left-hand corner where you see the gray circle with three white lines. That'll close your menu.
I had the corners in my vision. I'm very confused.
Well, I mean, no, you said no matter where you look, you're seeing the same thing. So I'm saying, like, the peripheral corner of your vision, per se.
Do I see anything like that?
Oh, yeah. There's so many things in your screen. There's like 18 different windows, pop-ups, so you could constantly hit red X's. But as he mentioned, there's also the gray circle down in the bottom left-hand corner with three white lines.
She sort of has her hands in front of her.
How do I close this? How do I get rid of it?
Just
show me.
Press the button.
What do I press? I am very confused. There is so much in front of me right now.
Okay, let me... And he kind of like squares up with you so that he's in the same direction. He clicks at the air with his left hand in front of him and then grabs your left hand with his right. Point with your left hand.
All right.
And he just kind of pushes your hand forward, thrusting it into the air. And suddenly you see, as you almost feel a palpable touch on your index finger,
and your vision is cleared as everything kind of shrinks into the bottom left-hand corner of your vision. But that small gray circle still seems to be always there.
She literally pulls her hand back with her other hand and is literally just holding it up against her chest. Her fingers still sort of pointed.
Oh, dear goddess. What is this curse?
Wilson feels as if he's stuttering and catching himself, but then eventually does address you.
Aurora, I know you said you lost your memories, but do you know what's going on? Exactly where we are?
We're in Shaladin Cove.
More broadly.
We're near a forest.
Think bigger.
We are in a plane outside the existence of death? I don't understand.
I mean, yes, this probably would be considered the material plane, but more precisely, maybe you want to take a seat. It's going to be a lot to unpack, I feel.
I don't have time for this. You wait here.
Ooh, yeah.
No. Just leave me alone for a minute, please.
I do feel like this information is a little bit more important, but take your time.
Right. Thank you.
She'll turn back to the tent, walk back in.
I believe I forgot something.
You forgot a lot of things.
I did.
Potentially your sanity?
That has always been called into question, so...
Yes, as I like dealing with all my constituents as...
Yes, well, I believe that I am in need of a crushed, valuable item that is black in color. Shells. Something to do with shells.
Ooh! Crushed black pearl, perhaps.
That sounds about right.
Not very cheap to source. I only have so much. I have 1,000 gold worth of crushed black pearl.
I will take it off your hands, then.
Very well.
Do you have a diamond?
She looks at you, quizzically, up and down.
I'm looking to be a bride-to-be. What can I say?
Very well. I don't question things.
And she goes into, once again, this box of drawers and pulls a small one out. Did you have a particular size in mind? Clarity? And her fingertips seem to be dancing atop numerous different small diamonds, ranging all the way up to relatively large ones.
Not quite. Let's say this big, and she just sort of makes a gesture with her hands.
This one will suit your purpose, then.
And she kind of plucks one out of this drawer and hands you a diamond worth 5,000 gold pieces.
All right, perfect. All right, let me just put this onto the bag.
You receive a surprisingly small pouch of coins for how much you discussed the prices being.
She opens up the pouch and looks.
You see fewer coins than anticipated, but after you begin fingering through them, you notice that a number of them are not gold in color, but rather more similar and akin to silver, but they're larger coins. There are, in this pouch, 296 platinum coins, 9 gold coins, and 9 silver coins.
All right, then. Thank you.
And she'll tie it off to her person, nodding before she walks out of the tent.
Best of luck with your curse!
She takes a quick gander outside as she walks out.
Looking in front of you, you see the horse, but you do not see the individual, Kilson, who has been following you, until you turn to your left, and he is waiting immediately at the entrance.
Is there anything you needed?
We need to talk. At least, I think. You might want to be seated for this, though.
I'm not really up for a very long conversation. I haven't eaten much today.
You can just go to the tavern.
I thought we weren't supposed to be associating with Hjold and his people in that area.
There's more than one tavern.
I don't know. I've been here for one night.
Though individuals do know me and know that I associate with Hjold, so you, being near me, will be associating with him. But honestly, if everything goes the way that it's supposed to tonight, we should all be gone by morning.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter who is associated with whom at this point. As long as nothing goes south before this evening.
All right. Then lead the way, Kilson.
Very well. To the Seafarer's Crest.
So she'll follow after him, somewhat begrudgingly.
And he takes you to another longhouse, this time, though, significantly closer to the Grand Hall. You have to pass, once again, the large totem and the two tents, and there's a giant bonfire outside this large circling of buildings, and you go into an adjacent longhouse to the Jarl's Hall. Upon entering, there are numerous tables and multiple large casks lining the wall, and there does seem to be a bar off in the back with a large open window overlooking the cove.
All right, so what is it that you wanted to talk about?
Kilsen gestures to a nearby table and pulls out a chair for you.
It's going to be a lot to process.
All right, so she'll take a seat, sort of leaning back, crossing her arms, and looking at him slightly indignantly.
Give me a second. Takata, can we, get a basket of bread, water, and something to drink?
Wine.
Kilsen pauses for a moment and glances in your direction, looking you up and down.
Okay, so they are different. A wine? Do we even have... Yeah, wine? Yeah, get some of that. And just a water for me.
And Kilsen kind of brushes his hand in the direction of an individual behind the counter, where you see a blonde-haired woman wearing a leather apron over top of a green blouse. And she kind of nods and eventually does make her way over to you, handing you a goblet filled with a red liquid, and hands over to Kilsen a wooden mug, and there is now a basket of bread between the two of you.
She'll hold the wine in her hand and sort of look at it just to be sure it looks palatable.
It seems drinkable.
She'll take a sip of it and slowly sip on it.
It is not as sweet as you would generally prefer. It has a little bit of a bitter aftertaste.
She tries to hide it, but her face like scrunches in distaste for a brief moment.
Kilsen's just chuckling to himself. Maybe you don't change.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Bread? And he gestures to the basket.
This is food for you?
No, I thought this was food for you. Would you prefer a steak?
I'd prefer a meal.
Sure, what do you want?
She looks at a nearby table, nodding with her head.
Whatever they're having.
You want haggis?
I don't see why not. I haven't tasted many things.
Thakara, can you get a steak, medium well, over here?
She raises an eyebrow at him, looking a little annoyed.
Yeah, I don't want you vomiting on me when I deliver this news.
Right. Continue, carry on.
So, how do I put this gently?
Well, at the very least, there is some layer of optimism, which is what was obscuring your vision previously, is not a curse. At least in the mystical sense. It certainly is a blight on humanity.
I swear, if I ever get my hands on the Game Go CEOs, I'm going to strangle them.
You seem to have a lot of anger issues.
Well, you see, the past few months not been very kind to any of us. Perhaps you least of all. But you were there for our guild. As I was trying to mention, you were the leader of a group of individuals known as the Odd Guild. Not because we're weird, though it is a ragtag bunch. AOD stood for the Antithesis of Darkness. Very edgy. I don't know why you came up with it. Don't ask me. You were mumbling something about Yu Yu Hakusho being some inspiration. You said your favorite character was Hiei. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. The point being, how do I put this gently?
I'd rather you just spit it out. I hate dawdling. It's the most useless and boring thing to deal with. I had enough dancing around with Draken after I spoke with him.
All right, how do I put this in the most concise and least confusing way?
Ah, you don't remember. I can't reference Inception.
All right, reality is a lie. None of this is real. The best thing you could maybe think of it as is we're living a dream. We're in a video game, if that makes sense.
She just takes the wine.
This is going to be a long conversation, isn't it?
She literally just throws it back.
I warned you. Takata, another wine. It's going to be a long evening.
Before a fight, yes. Ah, well, Quite an interesting tale, you have to tell.
And so, the evening goes on, with you and this stranger who claims to know you, going back and forth, you constantly posing questions, perplexed by what he proposes, but he assures you that reality as you know it is not real. In fact, all of this is a facade, something he refers to as a video game, something that doesn't make too much sense to you, but he likens it to a dream, saying that one day you will awaken and you will be in a completely different world. Not too dissimilar to what you remember, almost akin to that of how you feel whenever you leave Alani's plane.
Oh, I see. So the plane of death is the real world, then. It makes
no,
so much sense.
No. That is a separate plane of existence inside this... Okay.
My goddess would have other things to say about that.
I mean, sure, fine, whatever. Okay, anyway, we're in a video game. It's called Sword Art Online. We all purchased the game and these helmets from a company called GameGo. They're really dirt cheap. They're kind of like a bargain brand thing. They were just trying to like... I mean, there were competitors, but obviously GameGo sold out because prices. Anyways, point being is we're on the North America server. All of us are playing this video game, but then we got trapped because you know that little pop-up menu in the bottom corner?
Yes,
the thing
I see
that keeps
it.
Blinding you. Yeah,
yes.
He shows you how to function it and work it. And you are able to pull up strange menus, as he calls them. You're able to see your spells, all of them that you know, some of which you didn't realize you could even cast. You see which spell components you meet the requirements for. You see how many spells you have left for the day.
Oh, that's quite convenient. Does everyone have one of these?
Well, what do you mean by everyone?
She just does a wide gesture.
Okay. So here's the thing. Because we're in a video game, I'm going to be referring to individuals as NPCs a lot, which means non-playable characters, meaning they're not real. Imagine that they are figments of your dream.
And how do you know they're not real? Have you asked them?
Well,
technically, wouldn't that make you a non-playable character
since
I couldn't play you?
Well, I mean, yes, but that's not... But I'm a person... Okay, here's the thing. Think of it like collective dreaming. Have you ever had the instance where you swear that you dreamed the same thing as someone else? Or at least a very similar thing. You can imagine it conceptually, right?
Yes, I was about to say, I can't say that I have Kilsen.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, no memories. I understand. But you can understand the concept of two people potentially dreaming the exact same thing. Except there are thousands of us experiencing the same dream.
Uh-huh.
Think of it like collective dreaming. If you can imagine two people having dreamed the exact same thing when they went to sleep, right? But the thing is, last time I checked, there's at least a couple thousand of us, and we're all experiencing the same dream. So eventually, we'll wake up, but we'll remember everything that happened.
Sounds like some weird kind of cult, but all right, I'll play along.
Yeah, I guess video game communities are kind of cult-like.
Yes. So now a question about you. Why Kilsen? That doesn't sound like a real name. Sort of like Machia.
Yeah, no, that's a moniker that people gave me. It's to differentiate between me and the sobbing slump of a man that likes to parade around.
Your twin.
Sure, if you want to think about that, we inhabit the same body. Anyways, technically, the name should be Wilson.
I see, but you prefer Kilsen.
It's what I'm called.
All right. Interesting enough.
And don't laugh at Nichia. You're the one who picked that. You just don't remember it. You had a reason. You mentioned something about a husky back home.
Yes, back home. In the real world. It is a lot to take in. I'm already struggling as it is without knowing exactly what's going on or who I really am. And you barely even know who I am anyway, from what I've heard.
There is a general convention in video games where you don't disclose too much private information over the internet, or else it does kind of get a little weird.
So, my name is supposed to be this Snow Girl.
Remember earlier when we were at the guard post where you didn't feel comfortable giving your real name because then people would find out who you are? So you used Signe, right?
Sure, yes.
Okay, yeah. So, it, again, very commonplace on the internet is to use an alias. So everyone refers to you as Snow, though I think your real name is Amelia.
There's too many names involved. For now, we'll just stick with what I am right now. All right?
Sure. Hopefully, as time passes, it'll become more clear for you. But I would highly recommend looking through the menus of the game. It'll give you a lot more information on yourself.
When I look in, she kind of like glances around, but when she was like going through and he was showing her where things were, what did the character sheet say? Like the identification of the character, is it all question marks or is it like...
There are a lot of question marks. So what I imagined is that Aurora is the opposite side, so maybe there'd be like a button to flip the character.
So under this character section, it sort of moves around and whatnot.
I mean, yeah, you can scroll up and down.
Uh-huh. Oh, what's this button do? Oh.
And you notice that the sheet before you flips. You no longer see the information, which was already peculiar enough, saying that it had your name there, Aurora Signe, and it mentioned that you were a level 12 witch.
Levels. All right.
It had things known as HP, and it had abbreviated letters STRDEXCON and associated numbers immediately adjacent to them. Weird things like BAB, BAB.
BAB, HP, 111 HP. Is that good?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good, especially considering when we started out, Clyde had like 6, almost died to a hyena shark.
Right.
That's your hit points. It's basically how much damage you can take
so
before you die.
Yours change when you press the button in the bottom left-hand corner of the site that says character?
Button? You can scroll down to view the rest of your sheet.
No,
like
no, dear. I'm feet. Talking about a button like this. And she grabs his hand, does exactly what he did for her.
There's... no button there, Aurora.
I don't know what to tell you. There is for me.
And when you press this button, you see it almost as the character displayed almost flips, as if you've turned a piece of paper or flipped the page on a book. And you see the name, which Kilsen keeps mentioning, Snow. Snow Hikara. Level 11, Dervishing Dancer, level 1, Swashbuckler.
Oh, so I was a dancer. That's a very strange profession.
You weren't... I guess you did kind of dance. You tried to, like, tantalize people, and Wilson kind of...
How is that any different than what...
kind of just, like, wiggles his arms around.
Oh, she grimaces.
It wasn't my profession.
I can tell. You should probably stick to what you're good at, whatever this is. She gestures all around him.
But as you're looking at this sheet and... you begin scrolling down to see what else there is. You notice under special abilities, your eyes feel drawn. You lock gaze with something which you feel like Alani mentioned. The name Ishtar. It says Ishtar's Blessing. In a similar section on the other sheet, where under Aurora, it said Alani's Blessing. This sheet has something known as Ishtar's Blessing. And you feel a sense of familiarity with the terminology light step.
I'll look into this more at another point in time. But for now, plans of action.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to walk in there. You're going to curse Faltire. Bill's going to sneak in the back.
Yes, of course. Although, I would like to get a look and see what's inside of those tents.
Which tents? There's like... hundreds of them out on the coastline.
Oh, you would know the ones if you knew what I was talking about, obviously. But you don't know me well enough.
Yes, I would know the ones you're referring to if I knew what you were talking about, but I don't know what you're talking about.
That's all right. The ones that are directly outside of the totem.
Oh, you mean Hugin and Moonin's tents?
Oh, yes. They have quite a bit of... interesting magic going on there.
Yeah, I generally tend to stay away from witchy voodoo. Doesn't normally end well.
I see. Well, too bad you're around me now.
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
She raises an eyebrow. Seems suspicious. Sense motive?
Yeah, sure.
9!
He seems torn. Somewhat saddened. But he's trying to mask it.
You know, Kilson, Wilson, this... You. All of you.
Yeah, only you. And he just does the very same hand gesture with his finger kind of pointing around in your general direction.
I hope your other side is more fun.
Oh, no. No. Sniveling brat, honestly. Only thing he's good for is directions.
Oh, beside that,
What do you mean fun? I'm a bundle of joy. I'm a party animal. Can't stop, won't stop.
I see, yes, you are the definition of fun. I would say, though, Prescott was a bit more fun.
Brunting was never more exciting until I joined in.
Beside that, before you go off on your own little tangent there about this thing, I don't like when people lie to me. What are you hiding?
I'm hiding nothing. Ask anything you want. I'll tell you honestly. I already told you that your entire reality is a lie. What else do you think I'm gonna lie to you about?
You don't seem quite all right. I can't have somebody being emotionally damaged before we go into any kind of combat.
Not quite all right. Well, yeah. That's a way of putting it, isn't it? I've spent the last better part of 5 to 6 months looking for someone who I thought was missing. Someone very dear and close to me, who now, turns out, isn't missing, well, was, but rather has lost all remembrance of me and their identity.
Seems like you have a lot on your plate.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Would you like a hug?
He seems to pause.
I'm quite a giving woman.
You certainly were before, but hug me when you remember me.
Wow, that was a cruel rejection on your end. Oof.
Yeah, how do you think I feel?
About?
I've been looking for you for 6 months.
I thought we were just friends. Calm yourself.
I mean, look, things have been relatively ambiguous. I was your right-hand man at the very least.
Was I left-handed?
No. I don't think so. If you were, you hit it very well. You were more ambidextrous.
Beside the point, we should get ready for this evening.
Sure. Lots. And Kilson downs the contents of his mug and begins to stand up from the table, leaving a few gold coins there in his place. By this time, you've had a full proper meal with a medium well steak and a sweet potato.
It's probably been like 3 hours of conversation.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. It was about a little later in the afternoon, probably around 2 p.m. But then it has come now to the point where the sun is almost setting, and it is time for you to spring into action. So you, accompanied by Wilson, as the sun is setting, you make your way outside to the large bonfire, which seems to be at the center of this circle of buildings, where there is the large longhouse, which Wilson has referred to as the Jarl's Hall.
Seems like he's overcompensating for something.
No, I mean, technically that's not his, and also that's not the largest one. It sounds as if he's referring to, like, largest building in general.
I don't think you quite understand where I was going with that, but... All right.
No, I'm saying I've seen a number of Jarl's Halls. This is kind of like a temporary settlement.
She smirks a little at him. You know, you're the cute and innocent type, aren't you?
He seems confused and stares off into the distance. Anyways, guess we're just waiting here till Hjold gets set up and it's dark.
Do you mind if I just poke my head into the tents really quick?
Yeah, kind of.
You mind?
Yeah, a little.
Ah. Are you going to stop me?
I'll follow you.
You really are like a dog, aren't you?
One of my more endearing qualities.
Oh, endearing. Is that what they call it nowadays?
Well, it served you well for the months that you were traveling with me. We always had each other's back.
I'm sorry, Wilson. I will try to be nicer. It's just this scathing personality of mine.
Yeah, tell me about it. Anyways, you wanted to investigate Hugin and Munin's tents? They're probably not even there right now.
Yes.
All right, so... As you are waiting for the sun to set, you make your way in.
Sweet.
You begin walking over in the general direction from the circle of large buildings, leaving the Jarl's Hall and the bonfire just outside of it,
and begin making your way to the totem of the owl. And on either side, there is a tent.
Again, detect magic just to be safe.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of magic. You still see the same thinly veiled mist, but you sense a very strong aura of magic emanating from the outer ring of the tent itself.
I wonder if they have an alarm set up here. Something to alert them of someone entering their tent. And you say that you believe they are not here at this time?
Probably not. Yeah, I gotta be honest. They're probably inside.
They wouldn't be able to sense this from out here, I'm pretty sure. All right, fine. She's just gonna walk up to the tent and try to peek inside.
The mist thickens, and it's actually hard to make out the entirety of the contents of the tent from outside, almost as if something is protecting it from your vision. A veil, almost.
Damn these witches. All right, dispel magic.
Dispel magic greater, actually. 32 total dispel magic.
You focus all of your aura, and you see as this black energy seems to gather into an opaque sphere and then burst out in front of this tent, and you see almost as if glass fracturing in the atmosphere around you. Suddenly, a spherical barrier around this tent shatters, and all of the mist dissipates.
That was a bit flashier than I was expecting.
And you notice a number of people who are currently walking around the town are kind of murmuring and pointing at you.
Goes inside the tent. She just goes inside and closes the flap behind her.
I'll stay out here on damage control.
Thank you, darling.
You enter into the tent. There are numerous candles lit in a perfect circle. There is a bedroll off on one side, and there seems to be a small chest on the other side of the room, as well as a bowl and a glass orb on a pedestal.
Detect magic. Oh, shoot. No! I ruined everything, didn't I?
As you detect magic in the area, you begin rotating around the room. You sense nothing from the cot, the chest, or the bowl, but as you get to this pedestal with a crystal ball, you feel the suppressed magical aura begin seeping out from the glass sphere.
I will just lift and take that.
Did she figure out how... She knows where the inventory is, right, now?
Yes, you have seen where the inventory is.
Did Wilson explain anything about it?
Yeah, he would have explained to you how it functions.
All right, well, here goes nothing.
She's trying to navigate and tries to put it in there physically.
As you are doing so, the murmuring on the outside intensifies as you hear a high-pitched, ghoulish shriek of anger. And you feel a force approaching you, and rapidly. And Kilsen speaks up from outside the tent.
Aurora, you have company. That tends to happen when you trespass in people's private property.
She's going to stay quiet for a second.
Damn this thing and just the inventory. Go in the inventory.
Roll use magic device.
Oh, will yeah.
Be the closest thing.
19.
Almost instinctually, in a panic, you find yourself drawn to a series of buttons and submenus, and eventually, the orb vanishes from your grasp.
Ha ha ha. That works. I hope that was worth it. That was not a smart move on my part. An owl.
There's a totem.
Who dares trespass?
And you hear it almost as an echo, as if the same phrase is spoken twice, and you feel a palpable hatred and anger from outside the tent.
Aurora?
I'm coming.
She takes out the dagger she has, and she looks to the back side of the tent. She's gonna cut an opening.
Okay, sure. You cut an opening hole through this thin cloth. It's very easy as your dagger is quite sharp, and you are able to step through it. As there are now many people encircling, you are greeted by dozens of various Vikings who are now looking at you quite perplexed.
Odin sends his regards.
Roll bluff? Intimidate? What are you trying to do with this?
I guess that would be more like a bluff just to defuse the situation. It's not a good check, though. It's 12 total. Okay. Third level.
Ooh.
Everyone stares at you skeptically. One guy kind of shouts, screams, and runs off.
Run,
Nurok is here!
Pardon me, excuse me. She'll try and walk to the other side.
Roll a will save.
Gotcha. My dice are betraying me right now. It's a 12.
As you attempt to, I'm assuming, walk into the crowd and attempt to blend in with it, you feel as if your muscles disobey you. Not really. I mean, you feel as if you should be moving forward, but there is almost like a gravitational pressure freezing you in place, as if you were being restrained by some unseen force.
Hag! You think you can get away with this?
Oh, hello, sisters.
You're unable to turn around, but eventually you feel as if your entire body is rotated, and you are now facing these two individuals, twin sisters. They seem to be almost levitating off the ground in sheer anger and rage. Their hair kind of outstretched, waving, defying gravity itself. Their eyes seem pale and glazed over. Strangely enough, they also seem to have multiple holes in both the bottom and tops of their lips.
What does it remind me of?
It's hard to say. It doesn't seem familiar. It feels like you're lacking context, which you might have had if you had gone about this a different way. Very strange. A number of the Viking individuals are currently encircling the tents, and now Hugin and Munin as well, as they all gasp and are murmuring about the sight of seeing the witches speak.
Like I said, she would say, sisters, it's good to see you.
Sully not our name or reputation with your affiliation. Why is it you have disturbed our quarters?
Out of pure curiosity.
Your curiosity exceeds your welcome. Destruction of our property and theft!
Ah, I see. Well, why don't you put me down and we can have a calmer conversation about this?
Roll diplomacy?
You're rolling nothing but single digits!
The witches have cursed your dice.
I am literally I'm gonna die. I'm literally going to die.
What was your diplomacy check?
14. Oh, yeah.
There is nothing to speak of, only punishment for your actions. We let not transgressions go lightly.
So I'm still being held, eh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Can I attempt another will save?
You do get to roll another will save.
My dice are punishing me for having fun. 15. You can't dangle magic stuff in front of me and not expect me to poke it.
You can't put a bear in front of me and not expect me to poke it with my penis.
No, your body still rigid, refusing to move forward as you are being restrained by this almost ethereal force.
Wolf, King.
There's no response.
Damn you. Come.
Roll handle animal.
24.
This once.
She doesn't respond.
I'm so tired of this indignant attitude from you. What have we got it from?
And from a distance away, you hear and almost feel resonating within your bones a blood-curdling howl, which seems to echo through the lands.
Oh, dear. It was nice knowing you.
You may wish to put me down.
And you hear a number of individuals scream and start parting. Not from where you expected, not from the entrance, but actually from behind a nearby building, you see this enraged, large white wolf sulking, menacingly walking towards both Hugin and Munin.
Go about this the right way, he said. What player goes about things the right way? I'm a very gung-ho person.
Kilsyn is actually going to step in between this trifecta which is forming, where you are being restrained by mystical means. The two witches are levitating overhead, and now this large white wolf comes in sulking towards their direction. Kilsyn stands in the center of everything, kind of gesturing outwards. Perhaps it would be best if this situation de-escalated.
Have you no reverence for the divine seers, Hugin and Munin, the crows which circle the world? We see all, and we have no need to make reverence for such indiscretion.
I see. And you have no reverence
for death.
It's starting to get dark now at this point, and you can hear once again more clearly now as the doors of the Jarl's Hall swing wide open. And you hear another booming voice from over the crowds. This has escalated.
Why am I like this?
You've escalated things.
Listen.
Who dared?
You see as an absolute mountain of a man who towers over even the tallest Viking warrior begins walking with thunderous footsteps. It almost sounds as if there is a rhythm of a drum being played with each step. Until you realize there is a rhythm of a drum being played with each step.
This is the boss music.
Boom. 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 Boom.
Yeah, now see, Snow, this is what we call boss music.
Oh, no. Yep, that's Valtire.
Well, this literally brings things a little bit easier.
A man of giant stature, with long, unkempt, aged silver hairs rolling down his shoulders, seems to frame his rugged face filled with scars. He has a large scar across his left eye, which clefts his eyelid and seems to take a chunk out of his brow, drawing your focus to his deep void-like irises, which speak of a troubled life and a calloused heart. He wears sparse leather armor with vam braces on his forearms and a leather breastplate. He has a fur hide belt, which is attached to his brown pants, which run down to his leather boots. With one hand, you see an almost mace-like object hammering onto a thick war drum as he approaches.
Okay, I am going to use the Hex Misfortune. It does take a standard action, but it does not provoke an attack of opportunity. And I would like to target Hugin with Misfortune.
Okay, you target one of the witches. It's kind of hard to tell which is which, as they appear identical.
I target the left one.
Okay, you target the leftmost twin of the two of them, and you seem to glare daggers into the very soul, and you cast Misfortune upon them. What is the DC?
20. Can I roll my will save?
Yes, you may. You may roll your will save against the hold person.
19.
After shattering the forcible mystical restraints which these witches have put upon you, you glare at both of them with malice and intent, and you feel your very being curse them. And with that, their luck seems to diminish. I don't like initiating things, but I definitely feel like things should be initiated. Both of them seem to fly over to you. And I need to know what your touch AC is.
Well, my touch AC is 14.
Insolent wedge!
Witch, actually.
Both sisters seem to fly towards you. One of them misses, passing you just barely, and the other one just simply touches the tip of your shoulder. The one who made contact, you feel as a searing pain agonizingly shoots through your body right at the point of contact, and you take 13 damage.
What kind of damage is
negative
this?
Energy damage.
Valtire, you let this insolence stand under your watch. Be gone with her. Have her executed at once.
You see, that is not going to work very well for you.
A number of the Viking individuals begin drawing weapons and stepping closer. Valtire also begins coming forward with one thunderous step in rhythm with the drum beat after another. Kilsen begins closing the distance, and he whistles. And suddenly you hear the thunderous galloping of the steed, which you know which accompanies him, and in one swift motion, Kilsen mounts his steed and rides up along beside you. And likewise, Nichia seems to almost vanish from sight, darting behind one individual and then appearing behind you as well. You are now surrounded on either side by your allies, but also either side by your enemy, with numerous individuals circling around you now, and the would-be Jarl of this settlement closing in ever closer.
Okay,
what do you do?
How far away is the Jarl and everybody else?
The mountain of a man, Valtire, is probably within 60 feet of you now. Everyone else is closing in, and they're kind of making a semicircle around you. They're within 30 feet of you, the outermost edge of people. Hugin and Moonin are within 5-foot reach of you, almost in a diagonal line. They are technically flanking you at this time.
Okay. So how many regular individuals are near Faltire, his men?
How many people are near him?
Yeah.
What do you mean by near?
Like, circle of death-wise.
What's the radius?
40 feet radius.
You'd easily hit, like, 24 people, including him.
I think it's time to bring out my favorite spell.
She pulls out the black powder.
Circle of death.
Then she kind of, like, sprinkles it around herself to simulate the circle and directs it in that area.
After all, well saved for everybody.
What's the DC save?
20.
That makes it nice and simple.
Fortitude.
Fortitude, that's very different.
Remember, it doesn't affect creatures of 9 hit dice or more.
Sprinkling this black powder, which you just acquired around your person, you see this ominous black aura stem up from the ground where the powder lands, but it seems to almost make an entire cylinder upon your targeted location, engulfing around about 24 individuals, including Faltiri himself, and instantly, 15 men drop dead. Though, the large man himself is still standing, completely unfazed.
Can I roll Intimidate from there?
Yeah, a lot.
Against a bunch of people?
Unfortunately for all of you, death has come to pay you a visit.
30.
A number of these battle-hardened men seem instantaneously shaken by your actions. Very few of them are able to stand stalwart in the face of death itself. For the sake of your death-based ability, you may need to know this. You just got 3,000 experience.
Good to know. So that would be my standard. Can I... The wolf is behind me, and the witches are near me. On either side of me or like right next to the wolf, would I be able to mount wolf without the ladies being...
Yes. Okay.
So she would like to grab hold and mount up on the wolf.
This feels eerily natural, and the wolf itself seems sensing your emotions to aid you, and you are now atop your large steed, looking eye level with Wilson as he's atop his.
She winks at him.
And for a moment, you swear he almost smiles. But then his face turns stern and resolute. But it's not he who speaks, but rather the large man's booming voice.
Men, it seems as if Hela has come to greet us. How would you feel to kill the goddess of death herself?
And large cheers erupt from the crowd as individuals draw their weapons. Some staggered at your complexion, but others seem eager to join Valhalla. You and Wilson, surrounded by what seems to be still remaining about 50 Vikings, with one large, booming voice and beat of a drum, echoing through the hearts of all these men, invigorating them with rage, and the two witches on either side of you. And I think that is where we're going to end it for this week's episode of A Tale of Remembrance.
I'm a genius, what can I say?